I'd like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. Time is one thing I always wish I had more of in a day. Between parenting, work life, podcasting, it's tough to fit everything in. Sometimes today's list of to-dos ends up tomorrow's list, and that never ends well. I started using BetterHelp more than 1 year ago, and I've never looked back. It has helped me in so many aspects of my day-to-day life I hadn't even considered, just by helping me think differently to get back some of that precious time. It's entirely online, the flexibility is ideal for a busy schedule, it fits around your lifestyle. All you need to do to get started is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/theUFO today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/theUFO.
This is Ross Coulthart, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and in June 1972, five men were arrested for breaking into the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate complex in Washington. Investigations revealed that President Richard Nixon's administration was involved in the break-in. They tried to cover it up and used illegal methods to try and sabotage political opponents. Two journalists from the Washington Post's investigations helped expose the scandal. This led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon. The Watergate scandal led to numerous government reforms to increase transparency and reduce the potential for abuse of power in the executive branch. Now, imagine that instead of any independent investigation happening, President Richard Nixon himself was allowed to investigate himself and any alleged goings-on. Do you think the outcome would have been the same? We will never know. Anyways, on a totally unrelated note, here to discuss the Arrow report in which the DOD has investigated itself and whether or not the US government had any hidden UFO technology or alien bodies, I'd like to welcome Dan. Dan, welcome back.
Hi, that was a great opening, and yeah, has nothing to do at all with what we're going to be talking about today.
Totally unrelated. So yeah, just thought I'd throw that in there. I was just doing some separate research before. Some historian's going to tear apart that little quick summary, but yeah, I thought it was relevant. And I'm going to start off with a disclaimer, Dan. Obviously, we're going to be looking at the Arrow report that dropped and finish just talking about the alien bodies. Actually, that's not fair. The non-human bodies or different humanoid bodies being presented on the 12th of March. We'll get to that right at the very end. This is opinion. I'm not saying what we discuss is right or wrong, but just based on early readings of the Arrow report. So if there's anything you massively disagree with, or maybe either of us has picked up wrong, always happy to hear from you. But I think anyone listening to this by now should know, for the love of God, we are not experts, scientists, academics, etc., etc. Anyway, on to the nonsense, Dan. So Arrow's report dropped. This was the volume one of its historical reporting. Essentially, Arrow got to the end of its degree, submitted its essays, and the teachers marked it, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And you know, like most teachers, the response generally seems to be, can we see your workings?
And let's start, I suppose, at the end and give our thoughts on the overall thing, because I think by this point a lot of folks will have seen at least bits of the report, opinion on the report, etc. It didn't go down well for a lot of folks, but this is what I think I expected, what you expected, given how Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick's tenure at the head of Arrow has gone. It was very much going to be a report downplaying the UFO topic in terms of any non-human interactions, non-human intelligences, crash recoveries. If anything, if it came out with a more positive ending, Dan, I think we would have probably been suspicious and surprised. Is that fair?
Yeah, this stuff has always been, you know, since Arrow was established as, you know, it was UAPTF, it was AIMSOG, it was a different thing, now it's Arrow. They've always downplayed the extraterrestrial angle. And I'm going to be specific about the extraterrestrial word there, because that's what they repeat throughout this whole thing. They talk about off-world, they talk about extraterrestrial, and they're really specific in that. And I actually spoke to the DOD about their use of the term, and they defined the term extraterrestrial as off-world technology. So anything that's disputed in this report, it's disputing that there are there are species, there's another form of life, intelligent life here that's come from off planet specifically. So I think that's a good place to kind of, you know, a good ground level to put there.
Do you know what? Can I argue that the other side of that, though, is still, at the end of the day, the general public will still be looking at this as, and I think I'll get to this when I mention the mainstream media, you'll have seen, has picked it up as the US basically denies it has any alien technology, alien spacecraft, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. Now, people that are more interested in the topic are going to think about extraterrestrial, crypto-terrestrial, interdimensional, extra-dimensional, all that other stuff, right? At the end of the day, it's alien means alien. So what you're saying is maybe they're being clever with their language. I still see this as it's less of being clever with their language and it's just more of a direct lie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the conclusion there is the same, right? Whatever way we want to go to it. But they don't say alien. You know, it's not like a broad thing like that. They're specifically saying ET, and I, you know, thought exactly the same thing, which is why I got in touch with Susan Goff of the DOD. I spoke to her last year about this exact same thing as well and got a conflicting answer. So clearly the definitions of these things are kind of fluid. Last year, she told me that ET includes non-human intelligence, you know, that really broad category there. This year, she says it's only off-planet stuff. So if people want to hang their hat on that, fair enough. But I think there's plenty in this report to dispute and talk about without even addressing that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And I don't see it as a blow either way for or against the UFO topic. I know some folks have said, oh, it's a bit disappointing, disheartening. Other folks have seen it as a real chance to spur the topic on. I think for me, it's just unexpected. You know, driving along the highway, piece of trash floats by, you go, huh, interesting. You know, that's it. It's come and gone. It's what we kind of expected, essentially.
I like the analogy, as trash. I was thinking more, you know, sat on the toilet reaching for something to, you know, at the end of your time there, and there's the report.
I tell you what my worry was, though. As I was saying that, I thought, I wonder if you videoed the trash flying by, slowed it down, and like a foil crisp packet would suddenly look like the side of some NHI craft, and I was actually,
you know, look really weird.
Absolutely. Yes. Now listen, Dan, Arrow as an organization, just very quickly, it was announced on the 20th of July 2022. The mission of the Arrow, which was the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and this is a quote, will be to synchronize efforts across the DOD and with other US federal departments and agencies to detect, identify, and attribute objects of interest in, on, or near military installations, operating areas, training areas, special use airspace, and other areas of interest, and as necessary, to mitigate any associated threats of safety to safety of operations and national security. This includes anomalous, unidentified space, airborne, submerged, and transmedium objects. The Arrow exec, led by the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, who was Ronald Moultrie, will provide oversight and direction to the Arrow alongside these primary lines of effort: surveillance, collection, reporting, system capabilities and design, intelligence operations and analysis, mitigation and defeat, governance, science and technology. So that was Arrow's mission. I just wanted to get in there from way back in the day. Essentially, I think from a very broad spectrum, we have looked at it. I know I have, but I won't speak for everyone, as here is the part of the US government right now which is tasked directly with investigating the UFO topic. That's the way I've kind of looked at it through that time. Same as yourself?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, I remember we had high hopes at the beginning. You know, we were kind of going, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and see how it goes. And it's been a journey, hasn't it?
Yeah. And I think, just to be fair, back at the start, and people can go back and watch maybe the breaking news pods from the time Arrow was mentioned. I know at least I was, and I can't remember what you said, Dan. Bear in mind, it's all recorded.
I think I was like middle of the road.
I was prepared. Yeah, I was prepared to give Sean Kirkpatrick a chance. We didn't know who he was. We knew people in the background who said they were prepared to give him a chance. We knew people who said otherwise. But I was happy. I think I pretty much remember saying it's good to have someone who appears to be neutral and impartial looking at the UFO topic, because, yeah, great to have Luis Elizondo investigate it, but then there could be an impartiality one way that people would put to it, or you could have, you know, I don't know who, like Mick West. I know, sorry to say that, but you know, you could have Mick West study it and people would say, oh, he's just looking at it the other way. It seemed someone was coming in who was neutral and impartial. And I think as time's gone by, it's fair to say that maybe optimism subsided and pretty quickly as well, to the point Sean Kirkpatrick probably, many of us wanted to see leave some time ago, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. As you were talking then, I was thinking about that example you gave right at the head, you know, the top of the show. And, you know, it's bad to have Nixon investigate himself. It's bad to have one of Nixon's opponents investigate Nixon. Like, you want someone middle of the road and neutral. If we're talking about science, then we need neutral because we just need the data. We all have biases, like we were talking about Bob Lazar last time on my bias, you know, that I've kind of grown. We all have them. It's a natural thing to have. We just need to be aware of them. So right at the top of this report, when it said that, you know, they weren't going to assume any narratives, they weren't going in with any beliefs and things like that, they were just going to weigh up the data and look at it, I thought, oh, cool, this could be a good report. And that the more I read, the more that changed. And I think it's clear throughout this that there is some bias going on kind of both sides of the camp, I would say, but mostly, you know, from Arrow, a whole bunch of inaccuracies. And then when you get to, you know, where you want to see the data that they've looked at to kind of go, okay, you know, I agree with what your conclusion based on what you looked at. It's just not there. And some of the conclusions and paragraphs contradict themselves within the same, you know, within the same paragraph, there's contradictions. And it left me more confused than ever, to be honest. But I know that the media are going to run with the headlines from this thing and not those little subtleties that don't really pan out.
Yeah.
But one of the things that interested me in it were, Sean talks about that then, but you rightly pointed out to me the other day that Sean Kirkpatrick is no longer working for Arrow. So like, we shouldn't be mentioning him. Like, this was one of the last things that he contributed to, but the director right now is a gentleman named Tim Phillips. So any criticisms of Arrow, that goes to Tim. That's where the buck stops now. You know, Sean left in December and has been doing his kind of public tour around then. But there's a little section that talks about the eroding trust in government and the eroding trust in the Air Force and the DOD and things like that over time since, you know, those early efforts like Sign and Grudge and Blue Book and everything like that. And I think that's bang on. You know, we don't really trust the government these days. And there are so many conspiracy theories and real conspiracies as well that kind of fuel them. And so many information gaps that get filled with nonsense that to be able to identify that, but also to leave these bits of information gaps in there, ultimately really disappointed me because they had a real chance here to actually dispel a whole bunch of notions about things. And people who know a lot about the history of this subject just aren't convinced that they did the legwork necessary.
Yeah, I think I can't see where I've got the right. Yeah, I've got a note here towards the end, but it's relevant to bring it in now. So in the findings, it says the report, volume 2, for example, is going to have more information on locations, etc., of proposed alleged programs and materials. I don't know how much of that will be public. However, to your point, Dan, it seems throughout the report, when you even skim read it, there's a lot of presenting of evidence. They're presenting of some evidence of things they've managed to fully conclude on, but they've not told you how they've got there. Or there's a lot of assumptions or leaps in logic. You see phrases like, you know, so it probably means the rest of these cases are prosaic.
It is likely.
So because you've found one, yeah, and that's fine. And that is also potentially true. And I'm not saying that, okay, that means everything's aliens. It probably means the opposite, that most things are prosaic or foreign tech or something, not all, but most. But in a report of this magnitude, it's surprising that at its very best, it's only doing what it's accusing folks who have an interest in the UFO subject of doing, yeah, which is having a bias to a different direction. And I would expect a report like this is meant to be superior. It's meant to be better than that. This is meant to stand over us and look down on the UFO community, you know, and those who talk about it, report on it, research it, and show how much bigger and better it is. And it's not. It's just done the opposite. It's just repeat back. It's almost like a petty, it could be balloons. Yeah, it could be an alien spacecraft. Yeah, but it could be balloons. You know, it's almost that kind of pettiness with a real lack of any real evidence or research gone into it, which, I was sort of surprised at that. Given a third of it, Dan, I found one section relatively interesting because of the way it was laid out. Section four. Where are you? Sexy little section four, which was accounts of US government UAP investigatory programs since 1945. Sure. This made up around a third or a quarter of the report. And it's largely made up of a lot of accounts of various investigations from the US government programs over time from the mid 40s to now. And it includes a sort of piece of background and then the result of that program. It talks about, Project Sign, Project Twinkle, Project Blue Book. Sign, just very quickly for those, it was back in the late 40s, was established to systematically study and identify flying objects, or UFOs, sorry, and its final report suggested UFOs might be of ET origin. Then Project Grudge, which was a follow-up to Sign, took a more sceptical approach and concluded most UFO sightings were misidentifications or hoaxes. Project Twinkle, which was in the kind of late 40s, early 50s, aimed to investigate and analyse green fireballs in the sky, inconclusive results, inconclusive data. Project Blue Book, which obviously a very, very famous one, 50s through to the late 90s, 60s, sorry, was the US Air Force was tasked with investigating UFOs and determined whether or not they were a threat to national security. It concluded most sightings were explainable, small percentage remained unidentified. It goes through Condon, all that kind of stuff as well. But it just seemed like it was almost a couple of, and I love this kind of reading, but not, I wasn't expecting it in this sort of report, Dan, where it's a couple of lines of, here's a project and here's what it concluded, which is largely nothing. Here's a project, here's what it concluded, which was largely nothing. And that's like a third of the report.
Yeah.
So I was pretty surprised at that, to be honest. And I feel it's a common thread that runs through this report and others when we're talking about a subject where most serious reports seem to discuss objects, craft, or sightings that appear to be on the cutting edge of science. If you just look at the 2004 Nimitz event, thinking of one of the most recent, most famous cases.
Glaringly not in this report, by the way.
100%, yeah. It had vanished off to the cap point by the time they got to writing about it, right? So yeah, that event, like you say, is not even there. But you've got a modern event where modern pilots, modern officials, modern Top Gun creme de la creme trainees are seeing incredible things, doing incredible things. And it seems in this report, they are totally dismissed. So it would seem to me that the largest military on the planet and the best funded is totally playing down the capabilities of its own pilots, and I don't believe that to be true.
Yeah, and that's the Black Aces as well. You know, if you go watch Top Gun, there's a part where they mention the Black Aces because, like you say, the creme de la creme, they are like the top dogs, the SEAL Team 6 of the skies, you know, and they're not trusted, apparently, which is just insane. And I also enjoyed that section because it was nice to kind of have those dates laid out. But it was one of those sections that, again, there are untruths in it. So they mentioned the Project Sign was known as Project Saucer, and it was a different thing. But the strange thing is the term saucer for UFOs or UAP came after. It was during Kenneth Arnold's sighting. So no one would have been calling these things saucers before that moment. And yet this report is trying to say that Project Saucer was called such because of Kenneth Arnold's sighting, which just, that's not how linear time works. You know, it's just one of those little things that you're like, really? Did you think about this? Or did you just write it? Were there like 500 people writing it and they didn't speak to each other? So like these contradictions are in there. They also later on say that Project Grudge, basically they, well, I'm going to read it. Actually, I'm going to quote it instead of paraphrasing. In this report, they say, you know, all the efforts have been in good faith. They've been trying to kind of identify what they are and not say what they aren't. Yet, later on in the report, it says the USAF, the United States Air Force, subsequently implemented a public affairs campaign designed to persuade the public that UFOs constituted nothing unusual or extraordinary. The stated goal of this effort was to alleviate public anxiety. That's not science. Like, and it's already contradicting the fact that it was carried out in good faith. Like, it's there was another point. So if you look at the content page, you can see that, you know, there's a point where they say that prior to ATIP, nothing, there was nothing after Blue Book and before ATIP. Yet the contents page lists things that are in between those things, like the Roswell investigations and things like that. So it's really confusing that supposedly this is meant to be the authority on it, and it is flip-flopping left and right like crazy. They bring up NICAP, the CIA investigation, and they treat them as if it was, you know, well done. And I found that really strange, having been to David Mahler's archive, where he's trying to recompile the NICAP files because they were just scattered to the wind and no one gave a crap about losing them. And people would like take audio files and just misplace them and not return them. And there was no signing out or signing back in these forms of evidence. So it makes out like they're these really robust, open-minded, scientifically led investigations when they've been anything but. And anyone that has dived into the history, you know, I saw Graham Rendell, who was on the show not too long ago, great UFO historian, has a great series of books where he dives into this time frame. He was gobsmacked by this because this stuff just isn't true. Yet this is the document that they will now refer to going forward, saying, well, we didn't find anything. You know, you got to wonder if this is the only reason for this being. There is a little section in the document that says, if we're wrong about anything in here, we will update it in the future. So, you know, the government at some point, or sorry, the DOD, because not homogenous, the DOD specifically, will probably at some point in the future go, whoopsie, we got it wrong. This evidence proves that, you know, there was something interesting there. And again, that narrow scope, they're only looking for stuff to do with ET. If there's stuff that's just unknown, you can't attribute that to ET. And it's not really spoken about. There are a few statements in here that says, oh, there are some unexplained or unknowns. You know, there were 700 odd with Blue Book, the files behind which were classified. And that's something that Danny Sheehan got to look at and says there's really compelling stuff in there. The unknowns kind of fall to the wayside. The stuff with the five observables fall to the wayside, when really that's the stuff we want them to talk about. No, like even if it was a 5-page document talking about the unknowns and saying, we don't know anything. This is just, this is what happened. Apparently this is what we have on sensors and we can't figure it out. Let's talk about that stuff. That's the scientifically curious stuff. That's the stuff that's kind of causing all these conspiracy theories. Let's stop talking about, you know, air trash, as they call it.
And something that may explain that sense of rushness, that sense of kind of haphazardness, that chaotic nature of the report. And like you say, the UFO community itself isn't, you know, and I include myself and you and this, Dan, and everyone else. No one's perfect. No one bats 100, as they say in the States. It's very much people do make mistakes. People can even misquote themselves. It's always happened. So I'm not saying, oh, it's made a mistake. So that just shows how, you know, bullshit it is. Sure. But Gary Nolan was on with Matt Ford last night and he said, and I'll quote him, "My sources inside of Arrow tell me there was a lot of pressure to rush this report out with preconceived conclusions, and that folks on the inside were unhappy with the narrative being pushed, and that ODNI was also unpleased at this point, opposed it coming out because they weren't even given the chance to vet this in the way they thought it should have been." So it does seem like it's been thrown out when it should have been delayed. But again, Dan, like you mentioned, we've got, what was it, Timothy? Is it Timothy Phillips? Tim Phillips?
Let's call him Timothy because he's in trouble, right? Timothy.
Timothy. Yeah. Yeah. Who is in temporary charge, or he's at the moment, he's taken over from Sean Kirkpatrick. He hasn't been there that long. So I got what you meant when you said, you know, so we have to be laying the blame at him, but he's just the figurehead at the minute. Sure. So you have to kind of look at the figurehead. But he's not even been there that long. But how many times have we said, from AIMSOG to Arrow to, you know, these various different iterations of these organizations, they keep chopping and changing who's at the helm of them. So, you know, the snakehead's never there long enough to be cut off because it leaves and then, you know, someone else pops up and, well, now I'm starting from scratch. And it just kind of keeps going in that cycle. So, yeah, I could totally believe that it's been rushed. I could believe, and we've heard this many times before, that there are folks within Arrow. Arrow isn't an individual. Arrow isn't Sean Kirkpatrick or was Sean Kirkpatrick. It's not Susan Goff. It's a department made up of many individuals. I think, and I don't know how much of this was true, Dan, but I think the other day online, a list of names leaked, And I know initially I saw it jumping about the Discord channel and I was like, oh no, it says names and addresses and I don't want anyone's addresses published.
I almost didn't they weren't on it there. Because
it was just literally
of the same thing. It's personal information, right?
But you don't want that kind of stuff going online. But it was literally just here are apparently the list of names of folks who are involved in Arrow, which we hadn't really seen before. And it seemed to be, 20-ish names?
Uh-huh.
Was it that many? 20, 23? So there is a department of folks there who are all going to have different opinions, different narratives. Some of them are just there doing a job. They are employed and paid a salary to do the job, to do the work, to compile what they're made to compile. And it's all put together in this massive report. So that's pretty interesting for me, and I've not seen too much more on that. Dan, section 5 was the assessment of interviewee claims of US government involvement in hidden UAP programs. This was probably a pretty interesting section, and listen, we're not going to sit and read through the entire report on this because that would be boring as anything, and I think it'd be better people go and do that themselves. However, there are some interesting sections, and I definitely would recommend having a look at 4 and 5. But 5 literally addresses, for example, an interviewee claimed that an organization had 12 spacecraft from crashes before 1970 with a CIA partnership ending in 1989. Arrow found no supporting evidence. It's very short, snappy little snippets like that. Claims were made about an organization possessing off-world material around 2009 to 2010, with negotiations to return it to the US government mentioned. There's no more said about it. So it's very much short, snappy sentences, comments, and that's it. The interviews of people involved have been sporadic that we've heard any information on it. We know Arrow spoke to Robert Salas, for example. Robert Salas himself, I believe he was the one that recorded the phone call, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. I know a few others. There was Mario Woods as well, who spoke to them. Mario, if people don't remember his name, if you watch Unidentified, the very last episode of season 2, where it talks about a bunch of officers at a nuclear base, they see a UFO, then time seems to skip and they wake up in a complete different location, you know, miles and miles and miles away from where they were, inside a truck, just facing a cliff wall, and they don't know how they got there. That was Mario's story. Mario actually refused to sign the statement that Arrow brought to him to say, do you, you know, agree with this representation? Because he didn't agree with the representation that they put together. I figure that's because, you know, when you look at the Roswell section, and they say, okay, there's a little bit at the beginning of that section in this report where they explain what Roswell was. The explanation includes the weather balloon thing. So that's, you know, there's a little bias there again, you know. It seems to be that they're adding their bias into these stories and then just kind of not really speaking about actual evidence they found or didn't find. I hope that evidence goes to the National Archives where we can all look at it and review it ourselves and look at the workings and, you know, see if we agree. But I'm not overly hopeful, given how things have gone in the past. There's one witness statement as well that is clearly Michael Herrera, who spoke about, you know, being on a humanitarian mission and seeing cargo being loaded into UAP, which later... he was told that it was human trafficking. He didn't see humans, but this is something he was told later. I'm glad that he went to Arrow and spoke, but we've heard time and time again that the firsthand whistleblowers do not want to speak to Arrow and they do not trust the process. And if you look at page 30, they speak about NDAs and they say, oh, we didn't find any NDAs. So, you know, they don't exist, which, you know, Arrow loves to quote Carl Sagan with that whole, you know, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. I'll do the same. Sagan also said that absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So I would implore Arrow to hold that to their heart. I totally lost my thought track there.
No.
There's just so much to go to.
There is. And like I say, a lot of it is... Here's a very small, I guess until it's Section 8, for example, where the whole Section 8 is testing and development of US national security and space programs, most likely accounted for some portion of UAP sightings. It's interesting, the title of Section 8 is actually the conclusion as well.
Yes.
You don't even have to read the rest of it because it literally tells you, I'll read that again, testing and development of US national security and space programs most likely accounted for some portion of UAP sightings. That is literally the title. So the title is the full conclusion for your next, what, 5 or 6 pages worth of content.
Yeah. And let's read between the lines there
as
well.
That says it all.
They said spacecraft, right? So, like, wait, what? Like, they're a UAP being sighted from spacecraft? We've heard astronauts talk about this. We've heard them be disparaged by it. You know, there's a distinct possibility that within, you know, between the lines of that sentence, they're saying that people in spacecraft or testing spacecraft have seen these things approached by UAP outside of our atmosphere, which is a big claim, right? And most likely isn't 100% either, right? It's, I understand the whole, you can never be absolutely sure, so you can only ever say 99.9%. But at the same time, most likely isn't good enough. There's also a bit in there that talks about the Avro car, which I thought was hilarious. That when I was traveling across America, I went to the Air Force Museum near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to see the Avro car. And I wanted to see it because I wanted to see how big it was. You know, just is that something that if it was in the sky, people would mistake for a UAP? Turns out it only lifts a few feet off the ground, barely a hover. It's also really tiny. I think I could have probably, if I laid down and tried to plank on it, as the kids do 3 years ago, I probably could have touched both sides of it, you know, both edges. So it really isn't something that should be blamed for UFO sightings, because no one in their right mind is seeing something on the ground and going, that's a UFO, right? Like that, I mean.
Yeah.
Not like a landing craft or something.
And that Section 8, yeah, no, I get you. That Section 8, Dan, I read a couple of times because I was like, it's listing all these space programs. It doesn't actually attribute, you know, this sighting was actually this space program. It's just literally going, it could have been any of these. And it literally just lists off a whole load of space programs and trials and tests, which, okay, that's wonderful. I can totally see from Gary Nolan's statement why this has been rushed out, or that it has been rushed out. That's very telling. And Dan, Section 9 is the conclusion. To date, Arrow has not discovered any empirical evidence that any sighting of a UAP represented off-world technology or the existence of a classified program that had not been properly reported to Congress. That's the bold, and then there's a little bit more after that. Although many reports remain unsolved, Arrow assesses that if additional quality data were available, most cases could be identified. Total assumption in this type of report. Is that really good enough? Who knows? I just think a lot is missing from this. A lot of the stuff we're hearing about from scientists, academics and such. And do you know what? Let me go to someone who isn't, I suppose, actually, I think it's probably fair to say they're sort of UAP friendly, but pretty neutral in the conversation. Mathematician Eric Weinstein, he was given a quote on his thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about Lou Elizondo. I'm not talking about Chris Mellon. I'm not talking about Jacques Vallée, you know, big names in the UFO community who people might go, oh, well, they're going to say that. Here's a mathematician. This report purports to have studied the questions raised surrounding UFO or UAP-related research of the US federal government. It, in fact, appears to have studied a carefully chosen subset of the claims selected from among those which appear to have mass appeal to the so-called UFO community. It completely or nearly completely avoided reporting on all questions surrounding the issue which have been raised in serious research and by PhD-level researchers who have raised scientific questions in this area. And then goes on a little bit more. But so there's a guy himself looking going, if you're calling this a comprehensive report, it's not. It's extremely selective and extremely low on quality data. I mean, ironically, given what it's talking about in the UFO subject being low on quality data at a lot of times. There's a lot of modern up-to-date stuff missing out of it. I think I'm quite intrigued to see over the coming days and weeks more statements and comments. I'm sure Corbell and Knapp, when they're doing Weaponized, can hopefully speak to some of the folks they know to bring some statements forward. I hope David Grush comes forward with a big statement on it soon. I'd like to see more from this from Nolan, Vallée, Ross Coulthart, James Fox, who these are people who apparently are speaking to whistleblowers who must be looking at this now. And this is where I suppose I'm going to ask Dan, where do you see this leading if anywhere? Do you think this is just a standalone thing now that Arrow's done, it's dead, and it means nothing, so it can just be moved on from? Could this light a fire under the asses of, sorry for anyone who's from Britain, arses, of politicians, congressmen and women who are hopefully going to have the bit by their teeth with this subject now? Luna, Burchett, you know, all those guys and gals who are doing what they're doing. Is this going to drive them on? Or is this going to hamper the efforts in any way?
My feeling on this is that it's kind of a choose your own adventure thing to an extent, that this subject. We said it before, Schrodinger's disclosure, right? For some of us, it's already there. For some of us, it's not there. We're kind of living in this in-between space. This is so provably all over the place with its claims and its lack of evidence that it's going to make the people who are engaged in this, I feel, double down 10 times more than they had before. But I also think that this is kind of, like I said earlier, this is the thing they will refer to now going forward. They're almost trying to cut the history off and just go, refer to the Arrow report. We've looked into this, you know, just time and time again, they'll be talking about that. When really, we need to raise the bar. And this is yet another thing that proves that Arrow shouldn't be housed within the DoD. The defense industry can't be trusted to investigate itself. Time and time again, it comes up through this. You know, they went to private industry and they said, hey, is this true? Do you have this craft? And then they said, well, we're happy that those people we spoke to signed a statement saying, yeah, we swearsies, nothing's here, although I don't know about it. They don't go beyond that. They just seem satisfied with that first answer. And there's so much trust against these people that are accused of criminal activity that it's not taken seriously enough. And people like Tim Burchett, people like Luna, people like Schumer, they're going to turn it up to 11 now, I think. You know, my post after seeing this was to include the song Celebration Time, but to hint we should change the lyrics to Legislation Time. I think that's exactly what we're going to be seeing come out of this now. We'll see legislation pour out of it. We'll see, you know, probably language saying, stop talking about extraterrestrials. We're talking about the greater things. Stop making the reports about the mundane things and filling out 60 pages with, oh, sorry, I shouldn't say 60. This report was 63, but there's only 43 pages of information. The rest is blank,
yeah,
double-spaced, or appendix saying see Arrow case file, which is useless, right? Just don't even include it. What's the point? So we need to raise the bar.
That's why I said that section was like a third of the report, because it's like 60 odd pages, but it's actually not. It's like you say, it's like 30-ish pages of actual, you know, writing that's worth reading.
We just need to raise the bar. There's one bit in here where they speak about, and it's funny because we mentioned this last week, the bismuth magnesium alloy that was given by To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences to the U.S. Army through the Karada Agreement, where the U.S. Army would study it with their tools and we'd see where it goes, you know? And we finally got an update on it. And Arrow basically says that they disagree with all the claims, that they disagree with the U.S. Army when the U.S. Army said that it was pure bismuth layer, that Arrow did their own study and found that none of these things were true. Cool. We need to see these results. We need them in a transparent place. And since Gary Nolan himself, you know, scientists at Stanford with the equipment to look at things on a molecular level in a 3D kind of space, since he proposed the Stardust repository at Sol, i.e. a transparent database where people can see the work being done, where other people can follow their example, how about we start working with these people and we put that information there instead of leaving these frustrating information gaps that are just going to, you know, if someone says they're a starseed, they're not going to believe a word of this, right? But it's not all nonsense. The government's insistence on studying this over the past, like, you know, 80 to 100 years now, is true. You know, apparently they have no interest, yet they haven't stopped looking. So you got to wonder, like, what's going on? It raises a question. And I think Eric Weinstein's response there was perfect, because he's always had the idea of, okay, well, it's either real or it's a psyop. And in either situation, this is just huge and should be talked about because it's insane either way. And yet this report doesn't address most of the things that have been levied against the Department of Defense and their handling of the UAP issue. It doesn't seem to agree with even the Inspector General's take on what's been going on at the Department of Defense. So I think this is going to be one of those, you know, the Department of Defense will use this as a wall. Everyone else will use it as the reason for saying, yeah, we need to actually have independent investigations done. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw this week that David Grush, there was this idea going around that they were, that Luna, I think it is, and Burchett were, one, might be getting a UAP subcommittee. We'll see, hopefully. But also the idea that Grush would be employed as a congressional aide. So we can look at this from Congress's side instead of trusting the DOD and going through all the DOD for their information. What did you think of that?
I would love to see David Grush involved and in that sort of official capacity as well. I think, do you know what, if I was being really selfish as a quote-unquote UFO podcaster, yeah, it'd be great to have him totally independent, doing the rounds, writing a book, and just jumping from show to show, talking to everyone, big and small, about UFOs, right? That would be great. However, does it push things forward on the big stage? Probably not as well as it could doing something like that. Even in the short term, I think that would be a big, big win. I do want to mention, Dan, you used the phrase raising the bar about 6 hours ago, it feels now. And I wanted to say, speaking of the bar, tenuous link, Danny Sheehan made a comment, Dan. I want to read this one out, okay? Danny Sheehan says, I am taking the extraordinary step of informing the public and the media that I personally know that Dr. Kirkpatrick and his associates at Arrow are consciously lying when they falsely assert that they have been provided no substantiable evidence of the existence of a secret US government UFO crash retrieval program, because I personally provided to Dr. Kirkpatrick himself under oath the fact that I was granted access to the still classified files of Project Blue Book related to over 700 cases of UFO sightings that could not be rationalized as any natural phenomenon, that had been simply mistakenly misidentified as a UFO, and that in that capacity, I was shown by official representatives of our US government several official photographs of an active UFO crash retrieval operation. Now, I know Danny Sheehan can be divisive for many people. I think that's a phrase I've used a lot recently for various folks.
It's a divisive phrase.
I think everyone can be in the UFO topic. Yeah, it's a divisive phrase. But do you know what? He says some incredible things. I think I've said before, Dan, Danny Sheehan is involved in so much. I don't think it's unfair, and involved in so many groups, and seems to be on the periphery or in the middle of so many groups. I don't doubt some of that stuff bleeds into each other and can muddy a narrative, not necessarily deliberately. But I'm trying to be polite and say I'm sure Mr. Sheehan himself would say he's not infallible and now and again can make mistakes. That being said, that statement itself is basically, you know, outright calling Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick a liar, and individuals within Arrow, liars. And I don't think he's the only person asserting that. But Danny Sheehan isn't one to mix his words and goes into detail as to exactly why. Danny Sheehan says, you know, I've been shown the stuff, I've been shown the files. I think what would be stronger, but isn't going to happen, well, I don't know, will it happen, if David Grush came out and said, yeah, I've seen this stuff and Arrow's lying. I've spoken to Arrow and they're lying. I was one of those statements on the Arrow report, and the way they've misconstrued it, you know, is a lie. So yeah, that would be bigger for me. What do you make of Danny Sheehan's statement?
That's probably what we'll see now, in fact, is people correcting the record that Arrow has put here. People like Sheehan coming out and saying, like, no, that's not true, and I gave this to you, you know? There's a point in here, you know, there are tangible things here that we can disprove. So there's like, it says Arrow found no evidence that any United States government investigation, academic-sponsored research, or official review panel is concerned, have confirmed any sighting of a UAP. And then it says all foreign UAP investigatory efforts to date have reached the same general conclusions. One, it leaves out the UK's Project Condyne, which was huge, and that produced the image of the Calvin craft that we have, and that we've managed to reveal over the past 3 years with David Clark. And we know that the DIA were very unhappy that that picture was taken, and there was a whole bunch of meetings in Washington about that, and that's on the record. Not mentioned once here. Not that report isn't even mentioned once. You know, the report even goes into plasmas and things like that. It says that there are no ETs, but it goes a lot further in dealing with the actual reality of the situation. It just disagrees with the assessment, the conclusion, you know. We also have the French report that says that a lot of these sightings are extraterrestrial or have to be some exotic technology. Then there's the fact that, and this is going to be my statement here, and I've mentioned it before, that I got to see the Bigelow yearly reports when I was traveling around America. I was shown them and given time to just look at them. I saw a huge Skinwalker report. I saw a huge Tic Tac report that George Knapp has since responded to and talked about trying to get into the congressional record. According to Kirkpatrick, those things I saw didn't exist. So I know that this is a lie, and it's gobsmacking to see. And like you said earlier, I expected untruths and thread in the needle and things like that. But when it comes to things that can tangibly be disproven, I've got to wonder what the hell they're doing with this report. You know, who is it for? Who's it trying to convince? Because it doesn't seem that anyone's really convinced by it except the usual people who toe the line. There seems to be outrage about this from a few places that, you know, I refer to as new. And not outrage in the sense of ETs exist, therefore this is a lie, but just, guys, what you've written is just, it contradicts itself. There's evidence that shows that it's not true. You're not showing your workings. You're not following this scientific method that you said you would be following. So what the hell's going on? And I think that question alone is fuel on the fire. You know, there was a, I don't know if listeners are as nerdy as I am, I've been following the whole Apple and the EU thing with their Epic Game Store. And the EU brought in a law where they basically said that Apple can't act like a gatekeeper and just say that certain apps are allowed on their platform and other ones aren't. You know, it's like a computer, just let all apps be on there, you know? And then the day after doing that, they kicked Epic off their developer account because Epic said some bad things about them on social media. And it's cited in an email. And that is similar to this, I think, in the sense that you just sit there and you go, what are they thinking? Like, I can't even figure out how they thought this would help them in the long run. It's just going to bring more arrows, pun not intended, in their backs. And I don't get it unless they're just, I don't know, performing theater to draw people's ire. I'm really hoping stuff like that, Tic Tac report and the Skinwalker report and the Bigelow yearly reports, I really hope that they come public this year, because there's so much in them that's so interesting. And it's not just, oh, we studied ghosts. It's a document of the science they were attempting and the results that they got. And it is more neutral in its language than anything in this report. And I wish it was out there for people to see.
Just to finish on the Arrow report before we start to wrap up, is there anything you think the report has done well, or you think kind of good that's came of it?
I think in terms of showing there's been a consistent interest since the 40s in this by the US government, it's a good thing to have on record. It's also really good to have statements like this on record that can be disproven, because they're things that can be referred to if this ever gets to court or when people are in hearings and things like that. They can bring these up. So I'm a big fan of this work happening. It's also, there are people yelling outside.
Oh, could you hear that?
Just about. I can't hear what they're yelling about. I assume they were like, arrow across.
Yeah, if folks ever needed proof that I am literally in a wooden shed, then yes, that was it. Someone's walking past outside. I don't even know if folks can hear when I record, by the way. People must be sitting there going, what the f-? But yeah.
I think that's the first thing I've ever heard. Maybe like a car or a truck going past, but that's it.
I'm surprised you heard that, but yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's good that this is out there. It's good that we're starting to see that this is a flawed approach. Because, you know, if you don't know what game's being played, you can't join in and play it, right? And if you don't know the score in the game, you just can't win. So we need this stuff out there, as frustrating as it is. And like I said before, legislation time, come on.
Yeah, I'm similar with you, Dan. It seems like it's a report showing all the times that they have not been interested in the UFO topic and that there's been nothing to investigate. similar to if I went to my wife and showed her 50 text messages to 50 different women who I didn't meet to have an affair with, just to show how committed I was to her. Look at all these people I could have met with that turned out I wasn't interested. That's how committed I am to you, Susan. So, you know, yeah, look at all these times I didn't have an affair. That's proof that I was never going to have an affair. Interesting that the messages even started and conversations started in the first place. There's a whole lot of proof here of something they're not interested in this huge report noted as volume one. So yeah, that's the kind of positive thing for me here. Interestingly, Dan, February 2024 is when this was put out and it was cleared for publication on the 6th. So at least one week of security review that went into it as well. So just a little note towards the end of that.
Yeah.
Dan, just to wrap up, there is another little bit of news that is going to be coming our way this Tuesday, the 12th of March. And I'm just going to pull up again the email.
Well, just before you do that, can I just jump in and just add to the report stuff? Defense Scoop interviewed the head of Arrow, Timothy Phillips, and they spoke about deploying a sensor, a UAP sensor they've been developing since October. They're testing it in Texas against knowns and unknowns. That's a really provocative sentence alone, I think. It's called the Gremlin UAP sensor system, and they want to be able to essentially, when UAP are reported, deploy this thing in a Pelican case to see what data they can pick up. Great. But, you know, what are you studying if there's nothing to study? And it's reactionary. And you know, if you saw a UFO and then someone rocked up the next day with a case saying, this will prove that it was there when you saw it. And you're just like, yeah, time doesn't work that way, mate. Like, I don't know what you're trying. It's good that they're kind of putting these things out there. But again, you know, that's a lot of money and effort they're spending on something, studying something that they don't believe exists.
100%. And I think it's interesting, the next breakdown, Dan, we'll look at how have those conversations unfolded and statements, because even as we are recording this in the Discord chat, people are posting quotes from Gary Nolan and Eric Weinstein talking to each other over X, Twitter. I wish they'd just go back to calling it Twitter, because everyone just now calls it X, Twitter, or Twitter X. Twitter X would be a cool name. So a final piece of news, Dan. This Tuesday, the 12th of March, press release was sent out, media alert, new humanoid species to be revealed to the media by scientists, forensic experts and noted filmmakers. New species of humanoids recently discovered in Peru, proven by carbon dating to be over 1,000 years old and previously wrongly identified as aliens, to be presented to the media by esteemed scientists, forensic experts, attorneys and award-winning investigative filmmakers. Okay, so very quickly, the what? A never-before-assembled team comprised of esteemed scientists, forensic experts, attorneys and award-winning investigative filmmakers will present a global press conference at which the team will reveal and explain the remarkable recent discovery of ancient alien-like beings found in remote South American cave. Attendees of the press conference will witness the live unveiling of incredible, never-before-seen bodies which have been scientifically and forensically examined and have been determined to represent, and in capitals, Dan, a new humanoid species of unknown origins. Key highlights of the press conference is a live analysis. Scientists based in Lima, Peru and in Ica, Peru will perform laboratory scans on the bodies of this new species via satellite links during the press conference. Authentic evidence. Iconic Mexican ufologist Jaime Musan presents some of these previously unknown bodies before the Mexican Congress, or presented them on September 13th, 2023. Afterwards, Peruvian officials confiscated fake bodies, poor copies created by an artist of those presented by Musan, and claimed they were fake to discredit him. Mr. Musan did not present fake bodies on the 13th of September. This confusion will be cleared up during the press conference. Interesting. Ancient paradox. Carbon dating suggests these beings are over 1,000 years old, yet their genetic composition hints at advanced genetic engineering far beyond ancient human capabilities. Mysterious DNA analysis indicates that 30% of the genetic material from these ancient bodies remains unidentified, presenting a profound mystery about their existence and origin. And finally, final bullet point, unique physiological traits exhibiting tridactyl hands and feet alongside atypical anthropometric features. The discovery of this capital letters, new species challenges the very framework of biological evolution. Just some of the names involved, Dan, are award-winning filmmaker Serena Deasy, award-winning filmmaker Michael Mazzola, iconic Mexican investigator Jaime Musan, Dr. Jose de Jesus Zalce Benitez, and then it's got colonels of the Mexican Navy, anthropologist research directors, head, neck, and maxillofacial surgeons, and a whole load of surgeons and plastic surgeons. It's on the 12th of March, this Tuesday, 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Pacific time. That is what, 3 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. No, 3 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. UK. No, that's not right. Oh, no, 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Yes. UK. That's the one. And it's at the Mondrian Hotel, Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. So,
not an anthropology conference.
I can't really present anything.
I'm excited for it.
Until this comes out, until we see what it is. But
like, for me, just the fact that they're going, oh, we went a bit too far with that alien thing, we're just going to backpedal a little bit, and they're just unknowns, and this could be a really big discovery, and we're just going to present the science. They should have started here. I'm looking forward to it. Worth remembering, unidentified doesn't mean unknown. DNA falls apart, and it can become unreadable. That's usually, you usually, even if you scanned me and my DNA, you would find some wood that was unreadable, because it's just old and crap and falling apart. However, I implore everyone to watch it with an open mind, to put their bias aside, and to just take in the information and see what they think after that.
Yeah. Interesting that this is going to come out. Right now, bear in mind the Arrow report came out on, what, Friday? Thursday, Friday? That's had the media headlines for a few days. Those will be gone by Monday. The mainstream media will not be reporting on the Arrow report from Monday. However, on Tuesday, I expect, especially on shores over here, this might have a similar reaction to what Jaime Musan presented last time in the UK and other places, that at least has an entertainment factor to it, not to disparage the science that should be done, but I think that captures the imagination of mainstream media and outlets that may not report on the Arrow report, because when they see Arrow report, to 99.9% of the media, that means nothing. They don't know what Arrow is and have no interest in Arrow. So this should capture at least the imaginations of people a little bit. And I hope it's presented well. I hope, like you say, Dan, you're totally spot on for a change, that the way to go about this wasn't to shout about aliens from the beginning. And we said that, didn't we? That, again, just in our opinion, the PR from the beginning was all wrong. And I hope the folks involved aren't over dramatic or overly theatrical about it, and it's presented. And I hope that we see some other scientists get involved this time, because one thing I remember hearing Jaime Musan on Howard Hughes offering was that he would pay for scientists independently from around the world to visit and basically do tests, do science, quote unquote, on these bodies, and that never has seemed to happen. And Dan, I think it was you that said to me that you've heard that people were refused.
Yeah, because they wanted to film themselves taking the samples. They were told they weren't allowed to take samples, which I don't get. Like, that's a chain of custody thing. You want to maintain the chain of custody. And that's one of the criticisms that's been levied so far, is we don't know where they came from. Supposedly this site is mysterious. They were found in caves. We've never been told where they're from. So we're all just guessing. An information gap again, and some more transparency would go further. Like, people listening to this must be like, they're saying the same thing over and over again. And it's like, yeah, these are really low bars, low hanging fruit to address, and people just aren't doing them. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to say this time.
Yeah. Dan Harari is the media PR guy for this. Dan Harari is also the co-founder of the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance. He was just on with me last week. He's had an incredibly interesting life, Dan. I know you've not heard it yet, but the opening 10 minutes is no UFO chat, and just him telling me all the folks he's worked with, from like a young Bruce Springsteen to Kiss, Jerry Seinfeld, you know, a who's who of Hollywood, basically. Incredible background, incredible life story. And then,
like, I was listening to...
It was fascinating.
Astonishing Legends were looking at the James Dean, you know, death and the car and the superstitions around it and stuff like that. And yeah, they found that a lot of people just knew everyone. And after a while, you just got to kind of go, yeah, Hollywood's kind of a little bit incestuous. Everyone knows everyone. And, you know, just everyone gets around. Yeah. It's a small place, you know. We see it as this big thing, but now it's just a bunch of people that want to make movies.
Yeah, so Dan's obviously got a big interest in the UFO subject, and he comes on to talk about the Hollywood Disclosure Alliance, the beginnings of it, what they're hoping to achieve, why they're hoping to achieve it. And I'll just, again, it's one of those folks have an open mind. You might agree with it, you might not. I know when Serena DC, who we just mentioned before, she was on back in November talking about it, and it's very, very early days. And I think Dan wanted to come on and just expand on some of those answers and questions I asked back in November, which was fair enough of them. So yeah, make sure you check that one out. An interesting idea, one that I don't know how far it'll go, but it seems to have gained a lot of traction within that community, and a lot of names are attached to it, perhaps not unsurprisingly though. That one will be out in the next couple of days as well, folks. Check it out. But like I say, the first 10 minutes is literally no UFO chat. Dan tells me about his life in Hollywood, to get to the point of here's all the folks I've worked with. And it was pretty interesting to listen to. But I might put a little disclaimer at the start of that one to say you might want to skip 10 minutes. But yeah, who knows? Pretty interesting. But Dan, thanks very much for joining me on this one. We are at the hour, which is ideal. I can see us
having me. I just wanted to say one thing that I know that you won't say about, but I think people should know. Andy made his Ancient Aliens debut this week. He's doing a face now. He was on there talking about cases in Scotland, as was I. And just watch it. You'll see ugly faces on your screens, and it's a bit of a kick to be on there. You know, thank you for inviting us and for giving us the space to talk sensibly about these things. And also, once again, we're just about to wrap up a big charity drive, raising money for Cash for Kids and the Humane Society International. A whole bunch of amazing prizes you can win. The signed front cover of the New York article from 2017 signed by Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Kane, as well as signed pictures from Chris Mellon, Bob Lazar, you know, some really, really cool prizes. But the top prizes, the top donor gets a call with Lou Elizondo. So if you have any burning questions, this is a way that you can do it. Just go to 33ozcreative.com and you can jump into that raffle. It ends in the next few days. I'm going to delay it for a day or two just so once this goes out, people have a chance to kind of enter. But yeah, join us and let's you know, make the world the place we want to live in and help some people and do some nice things.
Yeah, money for some good causes, which is always, always nice. Thank you, folks. I imagine we'll be back in the next couple of days, given that news from Tuesday. We'll see what kind of reaction comes out of it as well, and any fallout from the Arrow report too. So, Dan, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, and thanks to everyone for listening.
That is all for this episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. Apple and Spotify do make a huge difference to the algorithm. If you're checking the show on YouTube, please don't forget to like and leave a comment on here as well. Any sharing you do is very much appreciated on any social media platform. And finally, you can listen to shows ad-free and sponsor-free in their glorious full versions by subscribing for less than the price of a coffee on Apple, Spotify, just search That UFO Podcast Premium. YouTube, you can sign up and be a member, or you can do that through patreon.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer, a little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk.